My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel and the former dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He joins me now to talk about a big court win for Liberty Counsel, as well as those in favor of traditional marriage in the state of Alabama. Last week, the Alabama Supreme Court effectively rejecting the U.S. Supreme Court's marriage opinion from back in June. Matt is here now to explain the case that was involved and what that means for the larger debate over the definition of marriage nationwide. And Matt, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
What exactly was at stake in this case before the court in Alabama?
Well, what was at stake is whether the Alabama Supreme Court would just simply follow blindly the 5-4 opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court issued in June of 2015, and the Alabama Supreme Court refused to do so. In fact, this case began back in 2015 when, prior to the U.S. Supreme Court opinion, a federal judge in Alabama ruled that the marriage amendments and the marriage laws were unconstitutional. So some of the probate judges in that state began issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples, and some of them did not. Liberty Counsel filed a lawsuit against those probate judges that were issuing the licenses, and we went directly to the Alabama Supreme Court. In a major ruling, a 135-page decision, the Alabama Supreme Court ultimately ruled that, number one, the marriage laws in Alabama are constitutional, and number two, that the probate judges must abide by those laws and they cannot issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. So that was the state of the situation. Then the Supreme Court of the United States, a few months later on June 26, issued the 5-4 opinion that said what it did, that you have a so-called constitutional right to same-sex marriage. From that time till the present, the question has been, what is the impact of that decision? So there's been briefing before the Alabama Supreme Court, and last week what the Alabama Supreme Court did was they entered what's called the judgment on the previous order, meaning that they put their stamp of approval on what they had previously done. The net result is they are reaffirming that marriage in Alabama is the union of a man and a woman, and that the probate judges are barred from issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. So that is the net result, and that is a huge victory.
What is generally the accepted response or the accepted protocol when it comes to a state Supreme Court confronting a federal U.S. Supreme Court decision that obviously a majority of the justices on the state court don't agree with? The conventional wisdom, of course, is that the Supreme Court of the United States has the final say on these things. What does the Alabama case show us?
Well, that's the standard protocol that people are used to, that whenever the Supreme Court speaks on an issue, then every other state and federal court of appeals has to fall in line and therefore reverse themselves. And so what people expected to happen in this case was that the Alabama Supreme Court would reverse itself and say, well, that's what we thought, but the Supreme Court of the United States disagreed, so this is what we have to do now. Well, that's not what they did. And historically, we have seen that happen before. For example, back in the 1800s, you have the famous case of Dred Scott, the case from the Supreme Court of the United States that said that blacks were not entitled to full citizenship rights. Well, that case came out of Wisconsin, and when it went back to Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said, we're not going to abide by that. We refuse to implement that rule. And they continued to insist that they would not follow the U.S. Supreme Court. And to this day, they pride themselves that they were on the right side of the Constitution and the right side of history. And indeed, the Wisconsin Supreme Court was. We've also seen it through history where presidents, for example, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, Andrew Jackson, these presidents resisted other unlawful, illegitimate legal actions. And in the case of Abraham Lincoln, he famously advocated that the Dred Scott decision was illegitimate and did not represent the rule of law.
So, Matt, what happens now? Does Alabama get to have its own marriage laws as they existed prior to the Supreme Court's decision? Does this turn into a legal ping-pong match of Alabama overruling the Supreme Court and then that decision perhaps being appealed to the federal courts and then another decision coming back down to Alabama saying, no, it has to be what the court said back in June of last year? How does this play out long-term?
Well, we don't know. That remains to be seen, but that history is going to soon unveil itself, and we'll find out which way it's going to go. But here's the options. One option is that the probate judges will not issue the same-sex marriage licenses. They might be sued to try to get them to comply to issue the license. And on the other hand, there's other probate judges that are issuing the licenses. They might be sued because they are in contempt of the Alabama Supreme Court opinion. The Alabama Supreme Court opinion is fairly straightforward. They are governed by the Alabama Supreme Court, and particularly the Chief Justice as the Chief Administrative Officer of the judiciary, and they have to abide by what the Supreme Court says. So if they do not, they can be found in contempt of court. They could even be removed from office. So what you have is a real conflict that's taking place. Frankly, I think, number one, that the U.S. Supreme Court 5-4 opinion is just that. It's an opinion, and it doesn't represent the rule of law. It's illegitimate. It's not founded in the Constitution or any of the court's precedents, and it is simply contrary to millennia of human history. Number two, it doesn't apply to Alabama, even if it, in fact, was the rule of law, because it only applies to the parties in that particular case, and none of the people in Alabama, none of the probate judges, were parties of that U.S. Supreme Court decision.
Matt, when it comes to other states perhaps going down this same road, are most of them, you think, likely to see how this battle plays out? Or do you think this particular decision from Alabama could lead to other cases being filed in states where the popular will is pretty one-sided in favor of traditional marriage?
Well, I think that we could see other cases come down the same pipe line as Alabama. I think Alabama has set a great precedent, and I would encourage other Supreme Court justices and judges to do the same thing. In fact, over 60 scholars last year issued a report, an opinion, a statement saying the same thing, that the state courts and that the state officials should not abide by the 5-4 opinion of the U.S. Supreme Court, that it was an illegitimate, unlawful, lawless opinion of five individuals. And that's what I think you're seeing happen here with the Alabama Supreme Court, and I think that that is what others should do. You know, the Supreme Court of the United States has gotten way beyond its original authority, way beyond the Constitution, and it doesn't have unlimited power any more than the President or the Congress. It has certain prescribed powers, and when they walk outside of those powers, outside of that authority, they are on their own, and we cannot and should not respect that, because to do so literally is unconstitutional. It's lawless, and it undermines the very republic that we love.
Last topic, Matt, whether it's the presidential campaign trail or just listening to generally conservative political figures as the issue gets brought up from time to time, it appears that for the most part, the narrative on the right has shifted to defending religious liberty. It's almost as if they've accepted as fact now that this is where the law is what the Supreme Court ruled last June. What do you make of that shift, and what would you encourage them to do?
Well, certainly I support respecting religious liberty. There's no question about that, and I'll advocate any kind of way to protect religious freedom. That is an essential thing that we must do. On the other hand, I'm not going to ghettoize religion and free exercise of religion and then be content with the rest of the country going down the drain. In fact, when we have an illegitimate opinion, we need to call it so, because what we have right now is a cancer that will eat up the republic, a cancer that will undermine our freedom, a cancer that replaces we the people with the five individuals that are unelected at the U.S. Supreme Court. So we need to address that head on. While we need to work on healing the patient and helping protect religious freedom and keeping it alive in the meantime, on the other hand, we need to excise out the cancer. And the judiciary, starting with the U.S. Supreme Court, has become the cancer of our basic liberties, and we need to bring it back into check.
Matt, we'll leave it there. Thank you, as always, for your time today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.